And a one and a two.
What the drummer named his twin daughters. Hi, I'm Josh. And at Buffet Infinity the other night, I met this guy. And, you know, I thought he was great. And then he ended up, I took him home. And, walked in the room. And then suddenly he just whipped out his one-eyed trouser monster.
Nice.
That's true.
Hi, I'm Saga, and this is my brother autobiography and my other brother autobiography. I'm Matt. We watched Nightborn.
This is Charlie down in Austin. I had a joke, but then I forgot it. So then I was like, well, shoot. So dumb. So dumb.
It's very good.
I
appreciate that greatly. That's fantastic.
I was trying to amp up the accent a little bit. I forgot to. Well, shoot.
Jeez.
You were talking about an accent that comes with a spittoon. It's that dull thing.
And we are going to reset every time we notice there's an anomaly tonight, and it is horror show hot dog. Boy, you're going to want to just hang out for the stinger after this. But anyway, we should talk first about the chute or el toboggan, which is toboggan, what? Which doesn't seem like a really good translation to me. But who am I to argue?
That is an interesting one.
That can't be right.
But yeah, the chute. It's about 4.5 minutes long. We've got a lady who opens the garbage chute in her apartment building, and there's a kid's voice from down below talking about how he's scared and he's stuck in the trash chute and he needs help. She goes to help him, runs down to where the end of the trash chute is, opens the door to the room, and there's a fucking monster in there.
And a big gooey pile of flesh type monster.
Really good looking, you know, like a lamprey mouth.
You played the indie game Carrion, where you get to play as the monster and eat all the scientists in a facility you're breaking out of? It very much is like
that. I'm gonna now.
Yeah, it's great.
And sticking out of monster's mouth is the kid. And yeah.
With the scariest face.
Yeah.
I don't know if they made this explicit, but I prefer to believe that that was like the light on a pilot fish.
I thought that too.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that idea. Well, but considering the denouement suggests that that might be the case.
Yeah. Then the lights go out and then it comes at her in the dark and then somebody else hears her voice coming out of the chute, of course.
Yeah. That made me think it has like an annihilation, you know, those things where like they mimic the people around them that they've killed or whatever. And I was like, okay, I could see that. You just, whoever the last thing it nommed on, it just mimics that voice to try to lure the next one. Like, that's pretty cool.
I've been reading the Terry Pratchett book, We Free Men. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I started to like develop the voices in my, that sounds way worse than I mean it to be. I developed the voices in my head. And it's sort of like, and it's so funny because it's like any really good book, and Chris Pratchett is a fucking master, but it's like any good book, you start to hear the voices, you know, the way that they sound or the way that they are or whatever. Or if you listen to a lot of books on tape, you get certain readers that are just incredible. And you just like, once you get that sort of certain sound and it's like, yep, that's what it is, obviously. And it's like, well, no, that's what my brain came up with.
Right.
This is not a, there's no answer key. Like, it's kind of just like, it's just like.
Yeah, that would be fascinating to hear an actual Scottish person reading We Free Men. Because I read all four of the first Tiffany Aching books to Fred, not the last one because I'm still too sad about it because it was the last book that Pratchett published. But so reading it aloud, I had to be like four different weird Scottish voices. And that was weird because you have like, oh, it's little Willie, you know, it's like, oh, Whaley, Whaley, it's the big wee coo, you know, and that shit. And then there's like the big kind of gruff guy, you're like, oh, yeah, that's what we're doing. And yeah, towards the end of
exhausting.
I couldn't say anything normal at all. Yeah,
it's like, well, it's like Shang Wen says, you know, like, you know, when you get like go to somebody's house, they have a kid or whatever, kids around, it's like, oh, you can read them a story or whatever else. And it's like, but the question is not, can you read? The question is, can you act? Can you remember character voices of each character?
Can you farm?
It's like, yep.
Oh, take it back to Mitch Hedberg. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
One thing I just wanted to make sure, and there's no nice way to say this, but this is a really well made thing that feels like a test reel. Does it not to you a little bit? Like, it's shot really well. It's put together really well. Like, it's really, you know, like, it's just good all the way around the board. But like, it feels like a with hugs and kisses and a good firm pat on the back. Like, look what I can do. Kind of feel to it a little bit. Like, maybe. That's what it felt like to me.
I can see that. I mean, I guess there's, you know, of the primary reasons to make a short. I mean, I think some people definitely just that's the exact right thing to make their artistic vision. But I think, you know, for most folks, it's what can I do to show off all of my capabilities to the best advantage to try to get more work. So yeah, I could see, you know, putting as much bells and whistles into like the effects, especially. That was part of the reason I thought this would be fun to watch, is I did not see that coming. No, there would be this massive special effects monster bonanza at the end, and it would actually be very capably pulled off. Like, it's obviously not like, you know, $20 million Marvel movie level stuff, but it looks good. Like, and it's in even the parts where you can tell it's like, yeah, this is clearly a little computer thing, but you understand what's happening. And that's usually the hallmark of shitty CG, is that like you can't even tell what's going on. It just kind of looks like a blurry mess. Well, this is a big blobby creature that looks awesome.
it's very clearly designed to look freaky and cool. And it isn't just like, oh, you know, I just kind of threw some fangs and tentacles in and whatever. Like, this is a cool looking thing. It looks like it came out of, you know, like Rob Bottin's imagination or something.
Yeah, because I guess the lead up to this one, which is another reason I love shorts that are very short, is that I'll put up with the full 4 minutes. But if this had been 12 minutes long with this setup, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I assumed at some point you get to, she goes to wherever she's going to go, and surprise, she sees her dark evil twin or something like that, right? The kind of thing you can do with no budget. And I was like, oh man, do I see a lot of these? But it's short enough, I figured, well, maybe they'll do some kind of cool effect or something. And holy shit, I'm glad I stuck it out, which is probably a lesson I should learn, of sticking it out to the end of everything. But there's only so many hours in a day. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think that's that was kind of the thing, is this seemed like this could have been, a dime a dozen type thing, but they found a way to really make it stand out from all the other ones I see like this all the time. So I think this is rad.
Yeah, and especially just to committing to making a monster, like an actual monstrous thing. You know, it's like you get a lot of zombies, you get a lot of ghosts, you get a lot of that kind of stuff, and which is fine, you know, whatever. But just like, you don't get enough. I don't think you get enough monsters, like actual just straight up monsters.
We don't get nearly enough just weird ass monsters. I've been watching yokai videos lately, just because they look cool. We need more weird ass monsters. Like, we kind of have our archetypes, and you know, like at least in Western cinema, you got your like 6 or 7 main things, but like there's plenty of weird shit. You can just make shit up. It doesn't have to have some kind of fake history of 300 years to be scary. Like, it can just be a weird thing.
Which, I mean, that's a perfect, you know, way to reference back to our old, our old pal Toby Wilkins' wonderful movie Splinter, which if you ever want to see just the dopest monster movie,
so good.
It's so fucking good. It's so fucking good. And Toby's such a great dude, and like everybody, and Shea Wingham's in there, and Jill Wagner's in there, and it's just fucking great. If you want to see an awesome gloppy monster movie, it's so fucking good. Ah, so good. But yeah, more monster movies.
Keep confusing that one and Slither. I think it's just for the name. Also good.
But different. Very, very different.
But both good. Just depends on the kind of night you want to have.
Yeah. There's a fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
It is. Let's talk about, if we could, I would love to start with Exit 8.
Yeah, cool.
Or Salida 8. Exit 8 is a Japanese movie that's based on a video game. I have not played that game, and I'm not sure how closely it sticks to it. Do you know, Matt?
I have not played it. I intended to after seeing it. I knew it was based on the game when I went and saw it in the theater. But no, I forgot. I never went back and played it. But from what I've seen, just from like, if you go to like the Steam page, like it looks pretty spot on. And that is just the play of the game, is just that you walk back and forth down a little hallway and you simply look for anomalies. And if you do it enough times, you can get out. It's that simple. It's like a little indie thing. And
I did not know it's a game at all. Huh.
Yeah, I was very surprised when I heard that that was what they were making into a movie, because I was skeptical as shit, which is why I was like, well, I got that AMC pass. This is exactly why. Let's go see this shit. And then I was like, fuck, this is really great. Like, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, there's a whole, like, the first 5 minutes of it is all in first person. And it made me wonder if it was just going to keep being in first person. And like, I was thinking, that's kind of gimmicky, but okay, like, it could work. But thankfully, they didn't stick with that. And
I think that would have gotten exhausted.
It is a very simple, like, guy gets lost in a subway station, which I can relate to. Like, every subway station I've been in is something like this one, where just eventually the signs get confusing and you just can't figure out where you're going.
I've never been on a subway, I don't think.
He ends up in a loop that is like a fairly small little, you know, less than a city block loop, where regardless of which direction he goes, he ends up in the same spot, and soon discovers that there's a sign that says exit 8. There's a sign that says you can, like, ahead, and then a sign that says, you know, look for anomalies, walk backwards if you see one, and exit on exit 8, and a sign that says exit 0. And if you make the loop the right way and you spot an anomaly and you turn back and go around, then the counter ticks up one and you're at exit 1. And if you miss one, then you go back down to 0. And that is all the rules that this thing really needs.
And there's, while that explains the rule, doesn't explain why. And I like that too.
Thank fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. I think they could have easily, I mean, so easily, like, the more I've thought about this, and Conan and I talk about this, because Conan loved this. He was
nice.
The
kid's all right.
He wrote a really beautiful thing about this. It was just like, he really loved this. And I was talking to him about it. And it's like, there's absolutely a dozen different things you could have put onto this, where you could have had, it's an experiment, it's a this thing, he's in a, it's a coma, it's a alternate universe, it's a, you know, whatever,
it's a Jacob's ladder scenario.
Yeah, nervous breakdown, or he had gotten struck by a train and, like, is clinging to life. There's a thousand things you could have come up with, but instead, that they did this brilliant thing early on that really got me, which is that, like, you know, the early part of the thing, when he's going down there, he finally gets down to the level where where most of this is going to be. And he goes around, and then he's distracted. He's doing this thing. He's getting somebody else's bag. Okay, he's got to get his inhaler, whatever. And he, like, looks up. He's like, wait a minute. And he's like, so early on, like, in that one little bit, you get that thing where being like, he realizes, like, wait a minute, I've seen this before. Like, that isn't, what am I doing? And it's sort of like, and it's that thing, like, it's super relatable, because it's sort of like, if you ever look for a fucking car in a parking garage, or like, you know, like, Josh, you remember, you discussed that Fashion Square, that parking garage where it had, like, two splits that were parallel to each other. And, like, if you sort of went down, if you took the road less traveled, you could wander around for 45 minutes trying to find your car and trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And so it's like, I love that they put that on that very early on, like, no, flashy, gimmicky, twisty, whatever. It was more just sort of like I swear to God, I've seen that before. And, like, kind of like, uddy, uddy, uddy. And then it's like, then I'm like, wait, things are behaving weird. And, like, no, okay, there's rules on the wall. And, like, that, you know, and that, so you have to, like, kind of readjust your reality, kind of a thing. And it was like, that was fucking brilliant. It was fucking brilliant. It was like, no big shock, no big whatever. It's just like, and now this is now reality. Like, oh, shit.
And this does such a great job of, even before we're quite sure what any of this means, we see the other guy walk past and then walk past again. And then when he turns around, the guy's just standing behind him smiling. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough creepy stuff happening.
Very creepy.
And then we just kind of learn the rules of this thing and experiment with the guy. And I was so right on that guy's shoulder going, like, dude, the eyes on that poster just fucking moved. That's an
anomaly. Yeah, that one, the
poster one, fucked with me. That was so good. Like,
partly because it reminded me of that scene in Black Swan, which is the most, like, that movie itself is more thrillery, you know, than horror, except for, you know, the part where she bends her knees backwards, or the part where she rips her finger. But, you know, like, it's not horror movie, but that scene, ugh.
Yeah.
And yeah, it managed to call that to mind. So, yeah, and the anomalies range from the like 8 on the sign is upside down to there's blood gushing down the ceiling.
Like a la The Shining.
Yeah, like there's a goddamn point, tsunami like, coming yeah. in.
But for like a lot of it early on, especially, like they're not like there's none of it seems malevolent. Exactly.
It really like, skirts that line though, doesn't it?
Because I mean, like there are things that are scary, right? Like blood dripping down from the ceiling, obviously freaky. The big, you know, tidal wave of, you know, water come flying down, right, is scary. But like I never get a sense of there's no consciousness, I don't think, involved. So to me it's like, you know, like in what little D&D I've played, I know there's like you can roll like 100-sided die for like a random encounter just to give you something to insert into a situation. There's just like a big list, right? It feels like that to me, where like, you know, it could have been like the you walk around the corner and this time there's a little flower in a vase sitting in the photo booth that he keeps walking past, right? Benign or even kind of pleasant. Or it could be like some lady just, you know, screaming and peeling her own face off. But like the thing doesn't care which one you see, you just see something. And yeah. The only important thing is, did you notice it? And so like, even the ones that are scary, I don't know that like, you know, if you, in a vacuum, it is just an outcome. And like, I think that makes it really compelling. Like, again, like the lack of explanation is part of what makes it so fascinating to me, because it truly felt like anything could happen. And that is, I think, what you need to make it to sell the idea of this limited scope, limited set type story. But like having the idea that the infinite is potentially just around the corner makes the movie feel a hell of a lot bigger than it is.
Well, it never gets bored. That's the other thing that was like this, such a miracle of modern science, is it never gets boring. Like that's the thing that's impressive.
Well, it draws you into playing, you know?
Yeah. You're like, you're starting to play. You're playing along with them.
You can't help but be looking.
Well, and also they sprinkle in little things too. Like when he has his little kind of fit and he like throws his backpack on the ground and he's angry and whatever. Mm. And then when he comes back around again, backpack's gone. No more backpack.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so they don't really stop to address it even. It's just, now there's no more backpack. And I kept thinking about that with this inhaler. I kept thinking, like, they don't really address it in the movie, but like at a certain point you're gonna run out of the inhaler at some point.
And food.
Like, it's like none of this is good. And so it's like, and so it's, but they don't dwell on any of that stuff. They don't get super proud of themselves, you know. It's
Because I remember having this reaction when I saw it in the theater for the first time. Were you guys shocked we suddenly had the perspective of the guy walking by?
Yeah.
I did not expect to have more than one protagonist. And that like really threw me for a loop when that switchover happens. Like, I love it. I think that is, again, part of what makes the film work. And
then I was also,
kid, you know,
then I was kind of afraid it was going to be like a series of unresolved stories about various people that got stuck in there.
Right.
And then it wasn't. And it ties back together and shows us like how that guy got stuck in the game, right? Because he abandoned the kid and left, and he failed that particular test, and you know, went up the stairs when he wasn't supposed to, and now he just has to be in the game, it seems like.
Yeah.
And for a little while I was like close to an eye roll with thinking about like, is this whole movie going to be about him convincing his girlfriend not to get an abortion? Like, is this just kind of a weird, like, secretly pro-life kind of movie where that's the only choice that will move him forward in his life? But I think we get more of him just not being a participant in his life and in the world, and mm-hmm. not wanting to take on any responsibility. And that manifests in the way that he's kind of ambivalent about his girlfriend. And then his test is more like, will you not abandon this kid when shit gets tough?
Right.
And that seems to be where it ends up, is like, is he going to get involved? Is he going to tell the guy on the subway to stop yelling at the baby? Because what fucking kind of psycho yells at a baby?
Right. I think like it's definitely,
he's kind of, you know,
you know, dare I call it the modern version of a Sam Peckinpah character arc of like, you have to kind of go through a trial to come into your full manhood, and like in the less gross Peckinpah way, which, you know, are fantastic films, but like, rather than having to have his like thing, I've learned how to be violent and now I'm a man. It's like, no, I've learned how to, yeah, not be passive. I've learned to make decisions and have active choices. And like, yeah, like it's, I think it's still couched in the idea of like, do I feel like I can handle being a parent? But I think it's not as like, it doesn't give me the like, oh, this is like Hallmark movie obvious chills that you get from something that's just like, you know, thinly veiled propaganda for just like, isn't it great when everything turns out into the, you know, nuclear family American ideal? And it's like, oh, good, it's one of those. Lord
Jesus Christ.
No one's ever happy unless it's the exact particular cutout. And it's like, I hate it when movies like come around to that and when you can see it coming. And this one, I think it earned it. Like, you know, for the parts of it that are doing that, I feel like that arc was there and earned for that character.
Well, you know, the other thing too is I was just looking at I just pulled up the Wikipedia, looking at the thing, and again, I hadn't played the game, so I didn't know there was a game. So it's like, I was kind of like, there's new information for me, but I was reading the little production thing that they built that, like that's like, and it's like, I'm thinking, well, just the corridor, the whole thing that they're walking around forever, and it's like, I don't know about you guys, but I never really stopped to think about the idea that it was a set and not just like a place.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I didn't either.
And it's like, it
makes perfect sense. Like that would be the easiest way to have 100% control of everything. But God, what a pain in the ass.
Well, it's interesting too, because like there's some shots in there too, you know, from a craft standpoint, there's shots in there that absolutely should have been screwed up by reflections and by you know, angle stuff and whatever. But they really, I mean, it's pretty damn airtight in terms of like production and like filming and stuff. And they did some really high level kind of working of that space. And like I said, everything about this should lend itself to being like, boy, it really kind of sags in the middle. But then, you know, they kind of resolve some stuff towards the end. But at any given point, like pretty early on, I was just like, okay, now what's going to happen? Okay, now what's gonna happen? Like, wait, does that thing look different? Yeah. I'm not sure. Shit. Like, is that little bunny rabbit cartoon thing? Is like, is it arm in a different spot? Like, no, it can't be right.
And it's just like, the layer of difficulty of not being able to read the signs in trying to determine if things had changed was driving me nuts.
Yeah.
Like, I bet it's a different experience if you can read Japanese. Like, at least you could tell at a glance that it's the same thing.
Well, that was the spoken is different too, because like there's some of the lines and some of the things, and yeah, you know, I never know, you know, who knows, but
right.
You know, Kristen has a little bit of a, still has retained some of her ability to understand spoken Japanese, and so like sometimes when we watch something from Japan, she's like wait, what did they say that translation was? Like, huh, that's interesting. And it always makes me think of whenever she does that, Josh, it always makes you think of your brilliant and epic all-timer, which is, what is a lighter? That's an Enfagadorse.
Yeah, is I'm Fuegador, the Unfirer.
Yeah. So there's like those things too, and I wonder how that thing will change a meaning. Like, how does that, you know, how does that inform the meaning of a thing? But yeah, but to your point, Joshua, like I think you're right on the money. Like, you could have absolutely imbibed this with a sense of being like it's just a metaphor for him deciding about what about being a parent or not or whatever. And it's like, you could infer that in there, but that is not their plan. The same way that the walking man and the boy and the other one, like, it's just sort of, you can infer different things. You can be like, you know, the little boy getting kind of walking away when he wasn't supposed to, or else then being stuck in this thing. It's like, oh, well, it's just, you know, people abandoning their parental duties or whatever else. Like, I guess, but it also,
or is it the little kid not obeying the watch out for the wolf in the woods if you go too far from mom?
Exactly.
Like, it could be a cautionary tale either direction.
Yeah. And it's like, and so they're not so up their own behinds that they have to have it be like this one thing. And so because of that, then it's just like, it allows you to just go along with it versus being like working off of a checklist. You know, and it's like, that's very impressive. You know, it's just a really impressive thing in general. It's just, it was interesting and oddly moving on a couple parts too. There's a couple parts that are really kind of like, oh, just.
Yeah, the emotional bits work because you're just actively rooting for this guy to get through the thing, especially after you see the other person that is wandering around as a monster used to be a person. And
yeah.
You're just like, oh my God. And the first time that you learn that you get busted all the way back to zero if you mess up.
Oh yeah,
it's just like yeah, no oh, save that point. Amps it up so much.
Well, that's where you suddenly go, oh, that's there is a path to madness here too. Like you mm-hmm. could really just still be here 60 years later. Like
yeah, I was at exit 7 three times.
And yeah,
I,
right. Ugh.
And it, to the point where when he actually gets the thing for exit 8. I was like, no, don't go that way. It kept saying right. exit 8 was the other way. And you're going, that's an anomaly, bro. But no, it was okay.
Yeah, I did the same thing, Josh. I did the exact same thing. I'm like, dude, no, don't trust it. Don't trust it.
I've lost the ability to trust.
Exactly it. Yeah, so this was goddamn delightful. It kept me on the edge of my seat the whole way through. Does so much with so very little. And knows exactly how to change it up. Features weird mice with ears on their back.
Oh, that's right. I wanted to bring up that. Features.
Yeah.
The face made of various mice is amazing.
So this is the thing. It could have just been a like Where's Waldo or Spot the Difference the movie. But then they figured mm-hmm. out that an anomaly can be anything. So let's come up with some really weird things that it could be.
Well, you and drop your guard. Yeah.
Yeah. Then they do those things, which is great. And like half of the time it is just the, like, you know, the poster's upside down, you know, shoe on the wall, whatever. And half the time it's freaky mutants. Like, great.
Just nightmare fuel. I was hoping it was a pony.
This comes highly recommended. I think for me, it's a 9 out of 10. Inhaler, you know, so that no me out of it. Never mind.
Amazing. So this is my second watch on this one, which is kind of interesting because, like, knowing the gags ahead of time in something like this definitely lets you watch it differently. And I think it improved my enjoyment of it. Like, I think obviously you can tell I enjoyed this one from how I've been gushing about it. But I think this is super good. I was going to give it a 9 at, when we started here, but I'm realizing I don't have anything I can say I didn't like. So there's no reason not to give it a 10. So I'm going to say it's a 10. Everyone should check this one out.
Exit 10, the sequel.
10, the sequel to Exit 8. Why is there no 9? Who knows?
9 part 2.
9!
The one about the cold soup. The other thing too, you mentioned about never being in a subway. I was just thinking, like, how, like, I have no sense of direction at all. Like, I have zero. Mm-hmm. The fact that they give you the ability on your phone to have navigational things is like the best thing that's ever been invented. Because, like, I have no fucking sense of direction at all. It's just like we have a thing in our family. They're basically like, if Charlie has an inclination that we're supposed to turn left, then absolutely where we're going is right. Because, like, I have no sense of, and I don't even, it's not like insulting. It's just like, I have no sense of direction.
At some point, like, it's just true. It's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just accept it. Like, it's just, I have this many other things I can do. That's just not one of them. And it's just sort of like, so watching some of the things, like that early on thing, when he's like listening to the thing and whatever, there's a level of distraction and he kind of gets stuck into the thing. Like, I remember one of the times being in New York with Chris, because Kristen lived in New York for a little bit of time. And so we were there one of the times, we were doing bopping around with my brothers or doing something. And like Maddie, my brother, who was in Brooklyn for like 10 years, and then now he lives kind of north of New York City. But like watching the two of them navigate some of the areas of the subways is like, is fascinating. It's like watching the kind of like kind of burly sort of man about town with the hat and the open shirt kind of tracker guy in the adventure movie who like knows his way around the forest. It's like, because there's these sections where there's just like a fucking tube hallway, like a little like half moon thing, and you just like, you, there's no signs anywhere, and you just go, oh yeah, we go turn on left, and then you go two rights, and then a left, and you get to this other platform. Like, how does any normal fucking human doing that? How does any fucking human figure this shit out? And it's just sort of like, and it's like, and the answer is you don't. And it's sort of like, and so it's one of those things where, like, watching him the first couple of times, so that's why it got me so early. I was like, that thing of just not noticing for just a moment, and then being like, oh shit, where the fuck am I? Like, I don't know where it is that I am exactly. And bugger it. And it's just sort of like, so that was, it just really, don't know. I just kept thinking about that, watching my brother and watching Kristen just navigate these fucking catacombs of death. It's like, it's very impressive.
Yeah, I get that same thing with, like, if I have to go to, like, the U for something, and there's, like, all the underground tunnels to get from building to building here because it's so cold in the winter. And if you go to the U, you know exactly where to go. But when I have to go down there for, like, the rare occasions I've had to, it just looks like a habit trail, and I'm just fucked. it's like you know. But you just watch these people moving with urgency and purpose, and I'm like, I just don't know what I'm doing. I should go back outside and be cold. At least I understand streets.
Well, I mean, any complex transit thing is sort of like, if you've ever seen Pete Holmes talking about the universe, like, and he's just like we're zoom out, we're on a rock floating through infinite nothingness, and the nothingness is getting bigger. Like, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, probably bigger, like, too.
And it's like, but walking into, like, Paddington Station, or walking into off of Penn Station or Grand Central in New York or whatever else, like, you look at all these different tubes, half of them are labeled, everybody's going everywhere, they know where they're going. It doesn't make any fucking sense. None of it. No signs. God damn it. We're trying to get anywhere in Boston. They're half of the fucking city. There's no signs. Jesus H. Christ. All that is to say, this is an excellent movie. This is an excellent movie. So I mean, I'll be right up there. I'll definitely say 9 out of 10 as well. Just a really interesting, different kind of project, and so well executed. So yeah, just really, really, really solid, and just allows space for the viewer to not be so confused that they don't understand what anything is happening, but gives you enough space to kind of like deal with the material as it were. Like it's like a little bit like 1408. In the written form, not necessarily. I mean, I like the movie a lot, but I'm one of the people like the movie a lot. But like, I get that thing feeling a little bit, even though there's more intentionality with it, in the written version of 1408, where it's sort of like, it's like you're just looking into the void, and the void's like, hello, and like, ah, shit, that kind of thing. It's like that kind of like getting that reflective. It has a reflective quality, and it's like, God, well done. So yeah, 9 out of 10 for sure.
Hell yeah,
best video game adaptation since the original Super Mario Brothers movie.
Oh, yes. The Goombas, sir. They're dancing again.
All right, dudes. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk about other two movies fairly quickly.
Yes, sir.
All right.
So next up in the coveted middle slot, we're bringing it back. We're going to talk about Nightborn, or Nacido en la Noche.
Okay.
yeah, you can't say it. You can't say, like, Nacido en la Noche. It's got Nacido. En la noche.
Yeah.
Este sábado, sábado, sábado.
Will sometimes, if we have to work late in the pizzeria, refer to it as Pezzo after dark. So yeah, I get it.
Yeah. En la noche. So a Finnish woman and the dumbest man alive go to her ancestral home in the haunted forest in Finland so that they can, like, move in and start a family at 42 and have three kids at 42. Now, like, having one kid at 42, Charlie, it makes perfect sense.
Yes.
But they're talking about three. And that's insane.
When that is thrown out there too, by the way, that is when you know you're kind of in for it with this whole thing. It was like, and we're going to have three. I'm like, uh-huh. Okay.
It's like, we'll see how that goes, Ron. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they do manage to get knocked up despite living in a hellhole. And there is a baby. And then, like, the dumbest people alive surround the woman and her baby. And the good parts of this movie are about the baby and mom. And the stupid parts are everything else, to where I think it ultimately sinks this movie. Because the idea is, like, baby is, something's wrong with baby. And it very quickly goes to, like, oh no, baby drinks blood. Baby doesn't so much suck milk as just, like, bite the boob and drink mom's blood, right? Baby bites the finger off of one of his cousins. Like, you know, we need to talk about Kevin. Like, something is wrong with this kid. And he, like, supernatural strength, and he has a fucking little tail.
This is a similar issue to the Lee Cronin's The Mummy, and the family just be like, this is fine. This is all fine.
Exactly. And the people around her do two things where it's, well, we just need to raise him properly. And it's your fault that he's like this. And none of that makes any sense. The rest of it, I love the parts about being pregnant and being a new mother, where you can tell that, you know, women wrote the script, and it's, it captures the ugliness of it without the sentimentality. And there's
screaming, "Don't tell me how I feel," is a very powerful line. Yeah.
There's one little scene in the chaos where she has this moment of like, but God, I love him. But for the most part, it is just like, this fucking sucks. And here are all the ways that it sucks. Like, here is my underwear full of blood while the kid is screaming at me to get fed, while dad is kind of bumbling around like an idiot. Like that stuff makes perfect sense. The whole, like, so here's a good dichotomy. The kid is literally drinking cow blood, and father has become aware of this, and his solution is for mom to go have a girls' night.
Yeah.
He's like, you just need to spend some time with your friends and you'll be fine.
You know, there's more to life than just this. So go drinking tonight.
Right. I'll take care of him. I also should say that the dumbest man alive is played by Rupert Grint, who's great. But in this, he really looks like someone just stuck a beard on teenage Ron Weasley.
Yeah.
And I couldn't buy him as a functioning adult, and neither could the script. So that bit is super dumb. But then she goes out with her friends and starts to miss her baby, and a baby cries in the restaurant, and she develops this hideous rash immediately, like pulsating gross. And like, that is a great way to visualize that feeling and make that metaphor, you know, like that intangible thing of like, God, I have this primal need to be near my baby, and make it into something physical. Like, that is a thing I love when horror does. It's like, that's genius. All the shit around it, so stupid.
And also they make some big decisions. Like, I mean, you point out, like, with the dad's character, like we were talking about before, how ultimately, like, you know, I don't know that I would say that Rupert Grint does a bad job. It's just, he's quite literally, like, from a different movie, reacting to things that are occurring in a third movie. Like, no part of any part of his character, like, grokks with anything else that's going on in the thing. But there's, like, some big old decisions that they make in this. Like, and I want to be kind of careful with the way that I talk about some of this stuff, because, like, it makes sound a little bit more, like, you know, negative towards women than I mean it to be. But, like, one of the decisions that they made was that there are parts that are very poignant and very, very raw and honest as it relates to, like, a woman's role in these type of things, and they, with pregnancy or difficult pregnancy or a child with different challenges or different things or whatever, and like how women sort of get forced into these like boxes and these, you know, all this awful stuff, and like that's all absolutely legitimate and then like super right on and like well written, and I'm glad that it's there. However, there's like the choice to make her in parts that we don't know who is the reliable narrator, like where is our grounding point for what reality actually is, and like there are parts where she is just screamingly ridiculous and just sort of like not part of anything that's going on or not reacting to this, like a 1 to 10 1 to 10 1 to 10, and it's sort of like, and that got old really fucking fast. And it was sort of like, it's like, okay, so I understand that she just lost her mind and like everybody around her is trying to like try to placate the situation because she just lost her marbles entirely. Because like a couple of shots of the baby are like, oh, this like monstrous little creature from her perspective, but then other shots are like, he just looks like a baby, like with a full head of hair, like some babies do. I'm like, okay, well, there you go, it's a normal baby. And it's like, well, it's not a normal baby because it's a monster. And it's like, all right, who the fuck is telling the story and who's the one that we can trust? It's like, that was a weird, that gave me whiplash constantly. It drove me up the wall to the point of almost having a headache. And then the other thing, early on, once the baby arrives, the choice to modify the cry to like make it like not so much like a rawr, monster rawr, but like just take a baby's, like do a like a baby cry supreme, like with sour cream and guacamole, where it's like there's just more to it. And it's so fucking annoying. then it's like I just completely tuned out of it. I was just so irritated, and maybe that was part of the point. And okay, fair play if that's what you're trying to do, but I think it's a very shitty choice because it's just sort of like you lose, or I lose the ability to kind of like keep hanging in there with you. Because I mean, we watched plenty of things. I mean, shit, remember our conversation about the Babadook years ago, where it's sort of like, you know, like that character, that boy character, drove Matt completely crazy.
Completely still drives me nuts. Yeah.
And it's like, and that's, you know, that's not right or wrong thing. It just is.
It just is.
Like,
yeah.
But in this situation, I'm sort of like, I feel like it can't be accidental to have pushed it beyond that point of like the thing of the old SNL thing of like, if it's not funny, like keep saying it to see if it gets funny again. And it's sort of like with that baby stuff and that early bit, like about after a third of the way through, it was just like, I feel like they're doing this on purpose to like make it like make a point of it somehow. And it's like, fine. But like, is that the way to do it though? Cause like, if you're just completely shutting that door and you know, I'm not speaking for every person watching it, but like, if I just can't get past that part of it and you've just irritated me to the point where I can't get past it, okay, well done. Success. I've been alienated from your movie entirely. I just feel like a lot of accidental things. And that, along with the characterization of the female lead, it just became exhausting. And then it was like, then at that point, basically from the midpoint forward, I was just sort of like, anything that happens, I'm like, I have no basis in reality, so I don't fucking know. Like, is that mom character like legitimately that fucking psychotic, like of a weird, cold, Northern European, like weirdo? Or is it like, is that the daughter's perception? If it's daughter's perception, then we need to have a foil of like what she is like normally. And it's like, we don't get that. There's no reliable anything. Nothing. Like zero. Then it's like, it just keeps going and going.
It's really a measure of how they fucked up that they have me wanting an unreliable narrator. Because that is one of my least favorite things in the world. But in this, either you have to make the people's reaction make sense, or you have to have that unreliable narrator. Because what we have is the baby's born. It's covered in like, covered in hair, but not like a animal, but like a old dude at the beach, right? It has a little tail. It grows freakishly fast and they remark on it at the doctor's office, right? It is actively drinking blood to survive and everyone's pretty much aware of it. It has a full set of teeth and is like biting someone's finger off, right? And yet the people around her are reacting as though this were the movie where it's all in her head.
Yeah.
And they're witnessing the things. So how
that's
can that
the thing. You said it perfectly.
It's not all in her head. You know, it's not all in her head. It is from a different movie that you have a house that the floor is so wet, it's spongy and trees are growing up through it and you decide to stay. Like that is your whimsical, that's your fucking Amelie movie, right? That's magical realism where you dig a hole under the floorboards and curl up with your monster child. Like that is Dust Bunny, like the, you know, City of Lost Children. That is not this movie.
That's not, yeah.
Everyone is kind of grounded in reality, except for just the bonky donks bullshit they say. You know, when grandpa is holding the baby and suddenly baby has a burn on his hand and the guy's like, look, the tool is cold. Like, there's no way that this could have happened. There has to be a second where they go, God, you're right. That's not hot at all. I wonder what happened to his hand. We should figure that out. But instead, it's just like, fuck you, Dad, for being careless around my baby.
And see, I start with, agreed, there is no fire and it is cold. Why are you touching my kid with a cold fireplace poker? That's a weird thing. I just
thought he kicked it, reached out and grabbed it.
You know? Maybe, isn't that when he's still looking? I thought that was where it's still an infant that's like only being carried everywhere. I could be wrong.
Yeah, but he's very precocious.
But I was just like, yeah, I just was confused as to how the poker got involved in the first place.
Well, then also too, like you have this whole thing of like the forest spirits or whatever else doing different things that are happening where it blows over the thing to cover him with the sun and whatever. And this is another thing. Like I kept thinking at the halfway point of this movie, okay, everybody's going to settle the fuck down. we're going to pick one theme, and then it's going to be like our little burgeoning family versus like these malevolent forest things that like wanted to trick her into like being the vessel to like bring about the elder god to kind of like omen, but like with a little umlaut over the thing or whatever. Like it's going to be like that. That's what it is. And it's like, no. You know, we've still got batshit crazy lady, you know, dunderheaded husband, and then all this cast of characters from a cavalcade of movies, and none of it's consistent. And I was just sort of like, and then I was telling Kristen that Josh, you were saying about the thing about the, you know, my rulesy thing that drives me nuts with police stuff, where I'm like, just do your fucking research. And like when you're talking about with the house or whatever else, I was telling Kristen about that, and she's like, yeah, if that's a thing, like everybody has different things. If that is your thing, you can't get past it. There's no way to get past it. It's just impossible. It's sort of like it's the I'll be right back, or I should go investigate that weird sound in a dark area with nobody else around. Like, that's a perfect plan. It's like that same kind of thing of being like, if you're looking at it going like, that's not a salvageable property.
It's like, yeah, I described it to Jess because I watched it while she was at work. And it's like, so they go to this ancestral home that they're going to share, and all the windows are busted out. The floorboards are soft and soggy and breaking because they're impregnated with water, and there are trees growing through the floor. And she's like, so do you, she's like, will you tear the house down? Like, yes, you do.
Yeah.
But well, see, that's the problem, though, is these kids these days are too young. They've not seen the Money Pit, and Tom Hanks has not warned them of their folly. So what the we need a remake.
They, yeah, he even says, like, it's implied that he fixes the house on his like weekends off from work.
Within the span of a pregnancy.
Yeah, well, she's not pregnant when they get there.
Right, but shortly after, I assumed.
But so they, like, once
still, it seems like he got that whole thing done in like a year. That's insane.
Yeah, which none of that, that's you need a contractor and you need like a foreman and a team of contractors, because every wall in the house has to come down because of the mold, and every floorboard. And then you have to, I mean, basically the DIY for that is pour a can of gasoline and light a match.
Well, that's why I kept thinking, that's why I thought it was going to be like Forest Spirits versus them thing. That's why I kept thinking it was going to be one of those things where you fast forward, and it's like, and you have like, you know, those Forest Spirits are going to come get the baby because it's our baby, and we're going to come get it. And then it just becomes this like, then you have contractors getting off by like the forest nymphs and all this crazy shit. And like, that's, I thought that's where we were going to go. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. Absolutely the fuck not. And it's just sort of like, and so it's just, so by the time you get to the end part, when like trees are covering over the windows and all this stuff's happening, didn't you? Okay. Another thing, when they, the first time they show the baby, it looks perfectly normal baby, like a little normal baby. And like just the scene prior is him like demon eyed, like, you know, like Danny DeVito walking across the thing in the darkness. That thing. And the next scene, he just looks like a little baby, like a Gerber baby. Were you not thinking it was going to go the direction of being like a kind of a Michigan J. Frog kind of situation where like everybody else sees this normal baby, but then when it's just mom, he's just like, hey, it's time to party. And it's like a little Beetlejuice.
Oh, absolutely.
And
yeah.
And it was going to be, you know, Michigan J. Frog back to just sort of a normal little baby. And they didn't go that way either.
It was nice to see that dancing baby from Felicity get some work, though. That was good.
Some of it was puppet.
I think you mean Ally McBeal, though.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I was like, there was some show that had that early gif, and I'm like, the CGI here sometimes is...
Yeah, that was Ally McBeal, because from Felicity, that would be... I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Whatever it is. But
like,
then,
well, that's why you can afford that apartment. It was haunted by a little dancing baby, of course.
Yeah, the child sometimes shows the seams on the budget, because my earlier notice, oh, it's nice to see the ceiling baby from Trainspotting getting some work.
Like, I like the puppet baby.
Well, here's the thing
to not like about this movie.
Yeah. So like, I had a good time with this. I like this movie. It is two movies and they don't do either one to completion. So like everything you said is actually 100% true, but there is the movie that is, this is a woman who is part troll and she got knocked up in the woods, just like everyone around them was joking about the woods with all the really cool human shaped trees. And now she has a troll baby. And she needs to stop fighting the urge to make him civilized like dad wants and embrace their wilding nature and run off to, you know, troll dad in the woods. That's one of the movies that's happening. If that movie is to be followed to its logical completion, everyone needs to react like they're in a horror movie, like, you know, dad and everybody else, right?
Yeah.
But if otherwise, you can keep all the interactions with her and a baby troll, and they actually are great. all those scenes work. Or there's the movie that is 100% just using the troll baby thing and all this stuff as the metaphor for all the difficulties with having children and being pregnant and giving birth and all that stuff. In which case you need the payoff of either she comes to terms with it, or there's a bit of a like snapping of the fingers and she has to be like, oh yep, she's lost her fucking mind.
Like, yeah,
but you get, and like that would work too, because it would play beautifully for that metaphor, in which case the exaggerated uselessness of dad and people's underreactions are that unreliable narrator saying everyone around me is useless, don't you see how much I'm suffering, and she's basically her own little martyr in her play. That works if she's losing her mind and doing all that, but then you need to have the outside perspective that shows us that we've been seeing the unreliable perspective, right? And they don't do that. So you have two movies that would work if you picked a lane.
Yeah.
And they just don't. And the thing is, I liked watching all these bits. They just don't add up to anything, but I had a fun time. So like, I'm not mad at it. And I also just like troll shit. So I was like, that's cool.
I was mad at all of the things that weren't just mom and baby interacting. What, every time there was another character, it was just like, it just, none of this makes any goddamn sense.
And I think I just fell into the habit of watching it as those two different movies as I'm doing it, going, okay, this is her perception of what husband's like in this insane scene. This is her perception of her friend where they're like yelling at her for being a bad mom after her kid bit someone's finger off as opposed to calling the cops. And like all that crazy shit. And I'm going, yes, this is all just her creating again. She's like, she's the victim in all this. It's the focus and attention's on her. And I was like, great. And I'm watching that movie. And now we're back to the real movie where she's starting to get along with the kid because she's embracing her own inner troll. And like the forest approves. Like her screaming at the baby in the forest screaming back is pretty cool. Like,
if you go really like the route,
you know,
the couple of scenes where baby is like rah, 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 and she just turns around and does the full like Shrek roar.
Yeah.
And then the kid shuts up, like, that is great. And she yep. is fearless with that. Like, that stuff's really good. The night out with friends, like getting ready for the night out with friends is heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it hits so true, you know, and she's got the belly that looks like the big swollen thing that was hanging on the tree. You know, it's, it even looks like it has rings to it. Yeah. That's why it, like, I kept chewing on this, because it's hard to write off those great moments, but at the same time, they are not in a good movie. So it's like, it ends up for me like a 5.5. And just like the good movie half is just a little bit better than, like, a little bigger than the bad. So yeah, it's like a 5.5 out of 10, and it's just, it's such a missed opportunity for me.
Yeah, I will. I agree with the, like, the assessment. I think I've kind of outlined like the way I appreciated all these things while understanding, even as I was watching it, that this is not adding up to a cohesive story. It's unfortunate. This would be fascinating to see if someone has like an original script, if there was a hard turn to like definitely have an answer one way or the other to make it all make sense or tie together, or if that was like a weird last minute change or something, or maybe that's just, this is what they wanted and it's just not on my wavelength. I don't know. But like, I had a good time watching it. So I'm going to say like 7, just on like the enjoyment I had. I would say that's generous perhaps for like what it is, but like I said, I had a good time. And honestly, like, the viewing of it that I was enjoying was that mom and kid are actually trolls and there's actual shit out in the woods. And like, yeah, they give you enough of that that all feels earthy and lived in a way that I enjoy, if you're only following that part. And I was like, this is neat. I'd like to hear more about that. I wish that had been our movie. And I enjoyed the bits I got to see of that. So that's kind of the good part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to be the low man on the totem pole. There were some very big creative decisions, and there were some parts that were really that jive, but it just the sum of the parts was just really, really aggravating. And I don't want to relitigate somebody's choices with what they're going to make. They made the movie they're going to make. I mean, whether it's limitations for whatever, or if they focus on the thing they want to make. I mean, it's like, whatever. But it's just, like I said, the sum of all the parts just really I found very frustrating and like off-putting, and I just kind of kept thinking like, gosh, there's different things you can do with this to get going. But then there's parts that really work really well. So it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's just a very confounding kind of a thing. So it's like being told about this like really great sushi place down this hallway, but to get there, you have to go spend a little bit of time with Nutkick and John. And it's just sort of like, okay, well, is it really worth the really good sushi to get, like, have to get kicked in the crotch a bunch of times? And it's like, I just, you know, at this point, it didn't want me to watch it. That was the only feeling that I got. So, you know, like I said, enough parts that work, but it just sort of, you know, just as a whole, I just don't know that it was I think it was one of the least interesting combination of a bunch of disparate parts. So that makes it a little man on the totem pole here. I'm going to say like 4.5 out of 10, 4.5 out of 10. He's a bit of a fixer upper. He is going to get impaled by a tree.
Blah, blah, blah. 50 points from Gryffindor. They're getting impaled by a tree. So let's, you know, speaking of things that big choices that are made exactly the way that people wanted to make them, let's talk about Buffet Infinity, a Buffet de Infinitude. This takes the form of a series of like commercials and news spots from like a 90s era television, like back when you had the quirky, like, small business owners would put together commercials starring themselves rapping or dressed in weird costumes, and like a definite thing that definitely happened.
Like, oh yeah. Everybody had, like, we had Fancy Ray was the guy you'd get a lot, or yeah, you'd have like the people that have the spas here. I can't remember the name of the company, but it was always the guy and his daughter. And now it's just the daughter, 'cause I'm sure he's retired, and he's like, yep, it's the same family doing the same spots for 40 years. Yeah.
Like nobody who is like a trained thespian, really, you know?
Nope. So, no.
So you have like the ad for the restaurant, and then for Buffet Infinity, there's a lawyer, like personal injury lawyer. There's a car dealership where the guy is a superhero, and there's one of the early drug commercials kind of thing. And then you have some new spots, and through that we tell the story of this restaurant that's slowly eating the entire strip mall, and then there's otherworldly shit, and there's a cult, and there's a cult leader who's really into feet, and the movie really wants you to understand that he's really into feet. And fuck, dudes, like, this is one of those movies, like The Wailing that and Nosferatu, that I'm just gonna be stuck on the outside of, and every review that I read, I would just want to go, no, it's not.
Because, well, yeah, I know that feeling.
Well, because the reviews all say this is just shockingly original. Like, no, it's fucking not. WNUF did this exact same thing, and a bunch of the VHS movies did the exact same thing, and Backrooms just did the exact same thing with the making fun of the old ads. So no, it's not. But that's fine, you know. Like, but what it is you have five like little segments that you can go between, and each of them has a joke or gag that they go back to and underline and highlight and put in italics, and they go, get it? And you go, Jesus fucking Christ. And every 45 fucking seconds it cuts. So it made me feel like I was watching TikTok, which made me anxious just watching this fucking thing, because it doesn't cut like people. And like the first round through all of them is fun. Maybe like the first three rounds, but then you're 10 minutes into this goddamn thing. And well, then it doesn't get interesting again until like 15 minutes from the end, where it gets really fucking cool.
So that was the thing that I did. I did the Josh thing with this, where I did the Josh thing, and I'm not meaning that in a negative way. Like, I did the thing where, you know, Josh sometimes will say, like, okay, I will decide that the last part of the thing, or I just don't accept the last bit of a thing. And I did that with this, where basically, like, the last 15, 20 minutes of this drove me up the goddamn wall, because it was like, it just abandons the structure entirely. It just sort of goes like, and
oh, I now was we're gonna, so relieved.
I hated it so hard. Finally
getting out of this goddamn fucking TV station.
This is Josh's exit eight. It was just the same four commercials and he had to spot the anomaly.
No, that's crazy. Yeah, say more, because that's like, I would never have thought that a movie becoming a movie would piss Charlie off.
I know, that's the thing. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but I still listen to a lot, but sometimes with movies or sometimes with music, you'll get into these like different areas of things. You're going to kind of go down a rabbit hole or kind of go down a whatever, and you start to discover a bunch of stuff. A couple of years ago, I really kind of was starting to try to do a lot of research into like a lot of kind of more obscure late 60s into 70s, like fuzz rock and psychedelic rock bands, because everybody kind of knows the main stuff, but there's like a ton more bands that put out these records, and there's a ton of fucking awesome things that are out there that like are just very obscure. And it's not that thing of like, oh well, I know a thing that's obscure, so that makes me cooler. It's not that. It's more like there's just some really cool shit that exists from the time frame that never got the light of day, like at all. And you know, and everybody seems to know the main things, but there's like tons of other cool ass shit that like there's a Parish Hall and War Pig, and there's this band from Africa called Witch, and Poobah and Zipper, and like all these fucking awesome bands that are fucking great. And it's like, and so I went into this rabbit hole for a while of like researching and learning about all these cool awesome psychedelic kind of bands. But when you do that, you also discover shit ones that are just sort of like, it's the 15 other bands that are like a bunch of stoners in a garage, like just doing a reverb thing. And you're just like, okay, I'm really bored by this. And I'm not interested in anything because you're not interested in either. And that's the way I felt about the last 20 minutes. It was just sort of like, I don't need one more thing doing the kind of, whoosh, with the camera and the crackle and the fade out, the thing, and then stop already, stop. Like, early on in this, when we're getting a little bit more data as it's going along, that I found interesting. And then once you just, when it all just kind of collapses like a flan in a cupboard, I just was so annoyed. So
it's like, it was so clumsy when it was going back and forth between them, because they're like, I don't know, it's that kind of, I think I was expecting something a lot more subtle, like Great Choice. Or Excellent, or Good Choice, or whatever that one is, the short.
Yeah, where that was so good.
It just gets subtly weirder and a little bit weirder and a little bit weirder. And instead it was like, come down to my sandwich shack, I've got the sauce. Like, come to Buffet Infinity, we got the sauce. Like, and it's certainly different, legally distinct from any other sauces anybody else might have. And then hers is, despite what other people might say, only our restaurant has the sauce. Not even a big old buffet would have our sauce. And it's like, yeah, I fucking get it. it's like, and the cult leader wanted everyone to remove their shoes and rub their feet on. I'm like, get it. I fucking get it.
That did result in one of the lines that I just giggled myself silly, though, was the line about the, he says, like, you know, it's like, you know, noted author, you know, writer, you know, like lecturer, whatever else, and licensed podiatrist. And I thought that line made me laugh. The other one that made me laugh like a lot, I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, was the mattress store where it says like the wrong decision may cause pain, and I was like, 2000 in your lower back.
And that I forgot about the mattress one there.
I thought that was really kind of a funny thing. But the thing about it was, though, like, you know, like thinking about, you know, we were talking about Buddy earlier, the one in the theaters from the guys with Too Many Cooks. Like, the thing with Great Choice or with like Too Many Cooks, unedited footage of a bear, these type of things where you, or WNUF, or the other kinds of things where you fuck with perspective and you kind of fuck with what you're seeing, is that like, to Josh's point, is absolutely valid, where like at a certain point, you know, it can be one of those a little bit goes a long way things, which is absolutely valid. And it's like, and I think these guys' fatal flaw with this was that, you know, they there's obviously a lot of try hard with this. Like, there's a lot of trying, like super trying hard, and there's a lot of effort to be had for sure. But I think that they missed the boat on not having some things that weren't weird. Like, they didn't have any just normal shit mixed in there. And I think that was kind of, that's where I think it could really grind it to a real crawl where they just, you didn't have any relief valve for it. Cause they, at a certain point, every commercial you're going to see is going to have something weird in it. Like every single clip you're going to have is going to be one more weird thing. And they kind of use the news segments to be like the buffer for normal stuff. Yeah, but I don't, but they didn't, and I say this with love and affection, a kiss on the forehead, the quality of actors needed to be better with those because, and as you see a lot of with independent movies, and especially a lot of the kind of stuff where there's a lot of trying, but it's like, you got to understand that if you're going to sell something as being like an actual newscast, even if it's local broadcast, you got to get better people to do it. Because if one segment, one newscast person absolutely sells as a newscast person, and then the next person just sounds like your friend who's in one of your classes, like it doesn't really work. The
That's other be thing a really hard role because everyone knows exactly what a newscaster is, but mm-hmm. none of us know how to do it.
That's you know the thing. I mean? You know,
like
what
if someone
you
to do it, I'd be like, oh, that would make me scared. But I think someone that doesn't think about it for a second would be like, yeah, I can do that. I've seen the news. It's like, I don't think you can. Like, I bet that's impossible.
Well, yeah, it's just the thing is it has that right sound or it doesn't have the right sound. It's like, it's got a, and unfortunately, it's not the most exciting component when you're doing all this creative kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just one of those, it's one of those areas that I think was supposed to be the bellwether for normalcy. And it just didn't, it was slick enough in parts and was really solid, but other parts it was kind of frustrating. The other thing I do want to bring up, and I haven't had a chance to really look into this too much, so I can't want to go too far, but at the very beginning of this, when you get all of the logos for the Buffet Infinity, was a lot of that not generative AI stuff?
Oh, I don't know.
I think that was a lot of fucking logos.
I think if it was, the people would have been screaming about it on Blue Sky.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Because they anytime there is any hint
any
of that,
whiff of that stuff, about it,
yeah, and people yeah. have been gushing
yeah,
about
Reddit
this
would have been on fire yeah. by now. Yeah.
So, I think if it was, it went by too fast for people to register. But I don't know. Like, I think they do a great job of doing this kind of thing, but there's just not enough story for it and it's not clever enough. And I would love to see the VHS segment that this was supposed to be.
But yeah, that
like, there is not perfect. A fucking movie in this. There just really is not, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that you saying the VHS like that, I mean that is the length this was supposed to, this should have been. Like that would have worked just a ton better. Because even though I was much more into it than you were, Joshua, like I was so just worn out by the end of it. Like it keeps going, and we're still going, and we're still going, and we're still
like
going.
The crotch eye, though, like that was a cool bit.
That was like, whoa, hello.
People floating in the air, you know, like that's always a cool thing.
Yeah,
but yeah. So Matt really liked this, so I feel like I should just quit bumming everyone out and. Well, let Matt tell people who are going to enjoy it, which apparently is fucking everybody else.
Yeah. Well, like, here's the thing though, like the, you know, this was sold to me as it's just bizarre. So just know nothing and go into it, which I still think is the way to do it. And then me telling Emmanuel at work that was the thing I was going to watch later that night. And that was what sold me on it. Apparently sold him on it. Cause he came to work the next day, having watched it. I was like, wait, you watched Buffet Infinity? He goes, yeah. You said you were going to watch it, and it was supposed to be just crazy. I'm like, did you watch all of it? He goes, yeah, it was great. I was like, okay, cool. And so, yeah, that's two now that I've spoken to that liked it. Me and him, I guess I count. But the
you do.
Oh, thanks, buddy. But the I think I'm not demanding the same thing of it that y'all might be, because like with a movie that's set up with this. In this style, like I consume a movie like this the same way I listen to an album by like half Japanese, right? It's you're not sitting there bobbing your head and like knowing the lyrics exactly to sing along with. You're just kind of like, it's sort of just washing over you and you, for whatever reason, enjoy the experience. And I feel like this is sort of similar in that regard, in which it's challenging because it's very much a certain thing and it doesn't really give you a chance to get on board with it. It just lets you know you're either on board or you're not. And I can see how this would totally leave someone right at the beginning and just be like, no, this is not my jam and it needs more narrative or better, whatever. But this was just kind of a fun little, just, I don't know. It's like a, you know, movie as collage. And I just kind of like that. So that might just be me being overly generous, because I've seen a lot of these that I didn't like, and this one kind of worked for me. So maybe it's just that, like, the rare good one is seems even better by comparison. But I had fun with this. So yeah, clearly your mileage may vary.
I always have to reassure myself, like, I it's not that it was challenging or strange that I didn't like, because I really liked the, was it called the Guardians of Infinity or whatever that was, where the guy printed out still frames of the Langoliers miniseries and made their own version of it.
Yeah.
I've loved that.
Yeah, that shit was cool.
That was super bizarre, but, like, I don't know. I felt like the idea wasn't fresh enough for me that it could just skate by on being weird. And I didn't think that it, or skate by on nailing that particular era, because I feel like I've seen that several times. And so, yeah, this is my curse, because now I get to read, like, every review. This is like, this is brilliant and so original and so much fun. And, like, you know, we can know it.
Yeah. But, like, if this is your first movie that you've seen that is this far outside of traditional narrative, you know, if you're 16-year-old me would be like, fuck, this is crazy. But I would have also had to find it by, like, trading VHS tapes or something, like, which makes any
sense. Yeah, it would be the cannibal of the musical. You know what I mean? Kind of,
yeah, like it would have some extra mystique with that. But, like, this would be the thing that, like, me and the couple other kids at my high school that were big film nerds that would try to find shit that was, like, subtitles. Woo. You know, like, we would absolutely be like, this is crazy, and try to, like, blow our friends' minds with it at, like, a Halloween party, and no one would give a fuck. And, like, so I can see how it would be an outsized impact on the internet, which is younger than us generally, right? So, like, that's probably part of that reputation. But I think even, you know, as we said, having seen enough of these, like, this one, I think just had enough polish on it that I was down. But yeah, I think there's probably a weighted internet average based on this maybe being people's first really weird movie.
So, like, at, say, like, 2 a.m., in my 20s and I'm high and, like, flipping through the channels and I see this, then I think I go absolutely apeshit for it.
Yeah, if this was on liquid television, this would be something you're still talking about.
But since it was, like, me sitting with my laptop going, okay, that's fun. Like, what else you got? Like, nothing? Oh. Oh, no. Maybe I'm just too crotchety for it. I don't know. So for me, this is like a, you know, it's, I agree there's a lot of effort put into this to make something that I just don't care for. So it's like being generous, it's a 4 out of 10 for me. Like, this was awfully goddamn hard to sit through.
Yeah, I had fun. I guess that's the theme for my super insightful criticism this week. But, you know, sometimes it's just nice to like things. So this is it was a fun week for me. So yeah, like, I'll say, like, 7 out of 10. This is not gonna be an all-time classic, I don't think, for anybody, but it's a pleasant way to spend an evening. So, and, you know, if you're up really late or really young, this will probably be even better. So, you know.
Well, it wasn't there. This is kind of useless for Josh, but wasn't there a few bits of this, Matt, especially around the middle section? Wasn't there certain parts of this that reminded you of some of the humor from Letterkenny?
Like, oh yeah, for sure.
That like Canadian, like, it's impossible to describe. It's like that dead drop Canadian humor where
it's sort of like if the cast of Letterkenny did Welcome to Night Vale. You know what I mean? It's like a little
so perfect.
Oh, yeah. So much of this silly is ripping off Welcome to Night Vale. I forgot to say that. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, it's just that a little so too silly to said. Have the occasional actual eeriness that Night Vale has. So it leans more towards the comedy of Letterkenny, I think. Because, like, I enjoy the lawyer guy's, like, legal assistant or whatever. That's probably his cousin or something. that like the first time she pops up and is clearly just super psyched to be on TV. Shit like that makes me laugh. Like, I thought that was cool, but you know, it's silly and little, but you know.
Yeah, I kept thinking like, I wonder if there's if there is some level of a translation thing of like, some of this does have that, like I said, that kind of weird dead weight Canadian humor that sort of like said Letterkenny just does at times where they're like, and thud. Yeah. You're like, okay, am I supposed to laugh?
I'm not the joke. Sure, we all look at it exactly now.
Yeah, like, well, let's look at that pile of joke on the floor. It's like, what am I supposed to do with that? So yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, this is one of those things that you can see the effort, you can see the thing. I just don't know if this great conceit, this cool idea, or this cool kind of mechanism is absolutely not enough for an hour and 40 minutes. And like I said, a VHS length would have been, I think, like more ideal, you know, or to even just take this conceit and then like give us something about like what happens to the restaurateur lady, or like, you know, what's happening behind the scenes, or just some other something, or like an in-depth news thing, or just giving something else that's grounded on the day-to-day. Because as it went along, those news segments became more and more grating because they kept being like, this needs to be no more normal. They can't also be the winging business. And so it's just like, so I don't know. It was just it's a scattershot thing that, you know, clearly took a ton of effort, but I just, you know, and then I don't care what anybody fucking says as far as on the internet goes or whatever else. At this stage in the game, like any generative AI stuff just really rubs me the wrong way. And I just sort of like, you know, it's just sort of, I don't know. It just really bugs me. And so like, oh, we just used it for like a bunch of logos because like it's a little part of the beginning. Like, yeah. And if you were making this movie 30 years ago, you would have done it on stencil paper. And so like, just it's enough already. Like, you know, you can try to make that argument when you go to the grocery store and fill up 3 bags and pay for 2. They're probably not going to be too into it. Like, oh, no, we just had more things to make. Like, well, tough shit. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not interested in anybody's dumbass, half-ass excuses. I just don't give a fuck. So like, I will. That will be a tiny knock because I don't think it's fair to knock the whole thing, but like that did bug me because I did look it up just a moment ago and it's like confirmed that they're like all the logos and stuff were all done that way. And I was just like, motherfucker. So, I don't know. Anyway, so I don't make a bigger thing of that than it is. It's like, because if we want to talk about that, talk about Ice Cream Man, which wasn't an adaptation of the fucking comic book. Fucking Jesus Christ, Eli West. Eli Roth. Yeah, he knows.
Eli Roth. Yeah.
He knows what he's done. He knows what he's done. He produced Aftershock, that fucker. So I'm gonna be kind of low on this. I'm a little higher than Josh, but not by too much. So I'm gonna say 4.5 out of 10. 4.5 out of 10. You know, A, E, I, O, and U, and sometimes Y for effort, but just it felt very long. We'll say it that way. It felt very long. Out of 10.
Like an infinite buffet.
Although, fucking, you know, open up a big chicken and can of worms. But, you know, like, I don't ever want to get into the thing of being like, you know, people steal jokes or whatever. I get so tired of that shit. And it's always people that are shitty comedians that always make a big deal about this kind of thing. I've always noticed that, like, people that are not particularly, like, successful, like, make a big deal about, oh, I stole this joke, I stole this idea. But the thing where they keep making the burger, they keep adding more things to the burger, that's a sketch from SNL with the taco. I can't think. It ends up in a duffel bag and ends up in a thing or whatever. Like it's like, come on. So it's like, whatever. It's just it is what it is.
It can also be convergent evolution. You never
know. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like
other people made the joke of they just keep adding shit to shit. You know, yeah. Someone's probably done it with a pizza.
Brother, out of 10.
I will take a quick break and we'll tell you what's going to happen next, and then we'll be out of here.
Yes, sir.
So next time we are going to watch 3 things that are available on 3 streaming services. We're going to watch Ick on Amazon Prime. We're going to watch The Last House, not on the left or anything, just the last one, on Netflix. And we're going to watch Penny Lane is Dead on Shudder. And I am going to take one for the team and preview Morbus to see if we want to watch it next week.
Morbus time.
Yeah. And it's just Morb all over the place.
Morbus or Lesbus?
I hardly know him.
You hardly know us. So yeah, Ick, Last House, Penny Lane is Dead, and I've been Josh this entire time, and I say a bye.
Yeah, we will have a short film next week called You're an Angel, which is on YouTube. And it will also be on horrorshowhotdog.com, where you can always find the movies you're going to be watching for the next episode, as well as the short. So go there if you want to check that out. Send us email, all that good stuff. And as far as you all know, I've been Matt this entire time, and I'm sorry.
This is Charlie Dunn Austin. One of our movies next week is Ick from Joseph Kahn. If you get an opportunity, I think it's only just illegally on YouTube at this point because I don't think it ever got distribution, I don't think. But Joseph Kahn did this movie back about 9 years ago, 10 years ago, something like that, called Bodied, about battle rap and this guy in graduate school who like wants to like learn about doing it and stuff. And it's very politically incorrect at times, and it's very fucking awesome and really impressive and really cool. And it's a pretty amazing movie, and given Joseph Kahn is an interesting guy, he's got kind of a chip on his shoulder about sort of life in general and about movies and about filmmaking and whatever, but he's also a very talented dude. So if you ever get a chance to track down Bodied, it's a really fucking wild experience of a film. But anyway, our movie next time is by him, Ick, so we'll see how that goes with Superman. Anywho, be good. We'll talk to you again, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Doodly doodly do.
Did you guys not have the thought, the middle part of that exit 8, where you're talking about looking for anomalies, whatever, where if this was like Deadite level of meanness or like some other kind of thing, if like one hair was out of place on one of the models and the was like, oh, there's an anomaly, you just didn't see it. Like, ah, you fucker.
When they do the upside down 8, that was the thing I was always afraid of. Because, yeah, I had that same basic idea of like, what if it's just the grout changed color?
Yeah.
like something impossible, right? And like that 8, I would absolutely have missed every single time.
Well, that was like, Kristen was like, had that too, when the little boy said that.
Oh, really?
Did you say again, Josh? Sorry.
Oh, I was entirely, I got that 8. I was like, oh my God, stop.
Ah.
Well, that was like, the one.
This kid
that
seems to be really anal. Hopefully he'll figure it out.
Was it when the little boy said the thing about the A, you know, it's upside down or else, and Kristen just goes, son of a bitch. She just got drawn in. She kept getting drawn in, and it was just like, son of a bitch. Like, because that's the thing. It's like, they did, well, we'll talk about it. But still, it was like,
oh my God, though. I just had this beautiful mental image of Kristen opening her mouth to say son of a bitch and Nathaniel Rateliff's voice coming out, and son of a bitch!
Son of a bitch! Yeah, hey, Lime!
Which is coming out of Kristen's face was okay. Just like an overdub. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Really? Definitely beautiful. Okay, let's, we'll talk about the shoot.
Shoot.
Shoot, baby.
Make me wanna shoot. I don't know.
That would also have been a great intro. Yeah.
I kept wanting to do Driver 8, the REM song for Exit 8.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah.
I figured that was too obscure for...
Yeah, because the three of us would get it.
Audience. Yeah. Yeah. I just kept going, and the train conductor says, take a break, Exit 8.
Yeah, the market for that reference is people our age or a little bit older that are twitchy and have a lot of cassettes.
Yeah, it's vanishingly small. These are the people that want you to listen to a Walkman because no. The tape hiss is part of it.
It's just Michael Sheen. This is the only. Or Michael Shannon. Sorry, that's different.
Michael Sheen is such a different deal.
Or Michael Ian Black. Who else do we know?
Or Shane Black.
The sad thing is I can hear Michael Sheen's Welsh accent in my head doing Night Swimming, but I can't do it with my face. I can hear it in my head.
Is that a quiet night? I'm not sure all these people understand.
Night Swimming.
It's not like years ago.
I love
all I've
that
got
song.
Is like half-assed Scottish. Anyway, 3, 2, 1.